Welcome to TanakhStudy.com. This is Gad Dishi, and together we're studying Sefer Melachim.
Perek Dalet. Perek Dalet consists of a list of the people who worked in the administration of Shlomo's kingdom. It's ostensibly a boring list, and not much can be said about it. But as David Nativ taught us, when there are boring lists, there's many pieces of information that can be mined from it. Let's quickly go through the perek, and then let's see if we can understand what it is that it's trying to tell us. Vahi ha-melech Shlomo melech al kol Yisrael. And Shlomo was the king over all of Israel, again in contrast perhaps to the beginnings of David, who only had ruling over Hebron, only to later become melech in Yerushalayim. Shlomo already now has established himself as the king for all of the people, perhaps also in the wake of the famous Mishpat Shlomo that we had in the previous perek. Now that Shlomo is well known throughout the kingdom and accepted by the people, and not just the higher echelons of aristocracy as the king of Israel. Ve'ele hasarim ha'shelo, Azariyahu ben Tzadok ha'kohen. And these following are the officers that were acting as officials in his government. Azariyahu ben Tzadok, the Kohen. Not clear whether or not he is the Kohen, meaning he's in charge of the Kohanim, or he is the head Kohen, he's the Kohen Gadol, or it's just his name, and it's meant to be read in conjunction with the next Pasuk, Elichoref v'Achiyah b'nei Shisha Sofrim. So Elichoref and Achiyah, who were both b'nei Shisha, were Sofrim, maybe also Azariah ben Tzadok HaKohen. So Azariah's status is in limbo. He might also be the head of all of the Sarim. He might be the head official in charge of everyone. Yehoshaphat ben Achilud HaMazkir. Yehoshaphat, son of Achilud, was the secretary or acting as secretary of state or the bailiff or the one who would call out the roster for the court cases in front of Shlomo. That was the job of the Mazkir. Ubnayahu ben Yehoyada al Hatzava. Good old buddy, Ubnayahu ben Yehoyada, who already carried out some assassinations for Shlomo, is in charge of the army. No surprise on that one. V'Tzadok ve'Eviatar Kohanim. And Tzadok and Eviatar are Kohanim. Now, it's not clear here either whether if we have this contradiction with Azariyahu ben Tzadok ha-Kohen, if Azariyahu ben Tzadok is the Kohen Gadol, then who are Tzadok and Eviatar? The word Kohen can also mean what it means in modern Hebrew, which is to officiate, and not necessarily in the priesthood. But Rabbi Israel, in his book, takes it to be that we have an emphasis here on Kohanim appearing in the list, and we'll see also there's another mention of the word Kohen in Pasuk Hey, and that perhaps is something that we can learn out from the Perek, that there's an emphasis on Kohanim, and this is very appropriate for the upcoming building of the Beit HaMikdash and the focus of Shlomo's kingdom around Mikdash, and therefore Kohanim have a prominent role. Another interesting point here, we have Eviatar appearing, and not just Tzadok. If we recall, Shlomo had sent Eviatar away, basically detaching him from the Kehuna, making him stay in Anatot. It seems to be that there was a point later in the time of Shlomo's kingdom where Eviatar returned, and he was able to officiate together with Tzadok. We have a little bit of a difficulty with sources in Chazal that point out that Eviatar, at the time of Mered Avshalom, already lost his ability to have Ruach HaKodesh, but possibly that here he got it back. It's not clear if there was any precipitating event. An alternative explanation is that Eviatar is a name of a Kohen. It's not the Eviatar that we're referring to, Eviatar ben Achimelech, who was the surviving son in the Nirtzache Nov Ira Kohanim, and therefore maybe there's no contradiction to previous treatment of Eviatar. But it seems to be unlikely that he would be paired up with Tzadok, unless it was the same Eviatar that we've already paired up with Tzadok many times earlier. So we have Tzadok and Eviatar as Kohanim. It's not clear if they're both Kohanim Gedolim or they're in charge of the Kohanim, but those are the people who are in the cabinet of Shlomo. Va'azariyahu ben Natan al ha-Nitzavim. So we have again Azariyahu, a similar name that we had in the beginning. And this person is in charge of the Nitzavim. Now the Nitzavim are not the Sarim. The Nitzavim are the people we're going to talk about soon, who are the tax collectors for, or the people in charge of particular regions that need to put forth particular taxes and people to work in Shlomo's administration. Azariah ben Natan, some people wanted to say that this Natan is Natan HaNavi, and therefore we have another familiar character in the roster. Vezavud ben Natan, Kohen, Re'eh HaMelech. And again here, Natan is not clear whether or not Natan is Natan HaNavi, or a different Natan altogether. Again, the word Kohen here, does it mean a priest, or does it mean someone who's just officiating? But Zavud ben Natan is someone who was officiating, or is a Kohen. Re'eh HaMelech, a great job. He is the friend of the king. In some of the Mefrashim, it's called the Shushbin. He's the guy who hangs out with the king. He bounces off ideas with him. He hangs out with him. Whatever else that the king needs, he's constantly with him. He has someone to talk to at all times. That's his job. He's a paid official in the government. So even in the highest of all realms in the monarchy, the king himself has this need for friendship, has this need for someone to be with him and to be able to feel that he's part with someone other than the monarchy. V'achishar al habayit. We have someone who's in charge of the palace. It's not necessarily cleaning the palace and making sure about the that the food is on the table, but rather this is the person who is acting as the minister of finance. He's in charge of all governmental spending, and therefore this person is a very high up official. We also see later on in the story of Achav, Obadiahu is al habayit. It's a very respectable position. There's no one who is looking out and overseeing his decisions in regards to expenditures, and that's how Obadiah gets away with feeding the Nevi'im, who he's hiding later on in Sefer Melachim. And here Achishar is the one who's in charge of that. Va'Adoniram ben Avda al Hamas. Adoniram is the person who's in charge of all the tax collection, which is different than the Nitzavim. We'll see that there's two aspects to the types of taxes that Shlomo has, and we'll begin that in another minute. But Adoniram also will again present himself later on, and the issue of taxes in general in the kingdom of Shlomo ends up being one of the precipitating events for the merit of Yerovam against Rechavam after Shlomo dies, and these are the seeds of the taxation system that Shlomo sets into place that for now are going to be heralded as an administrative wonder, and something that Shlomo does to the betterment of the Jewish people. ולשלמה שנים עשר ניצבים על כל ישראל וכלכלו את המלך ואת ביתו חודש בשנה יהיה על האחד לכלכל. And Shlomo had 12 regional directors all of on Eretz Israel, and they were in charge of providing the means for the palace and for the king. Each region was supposed to be in charge for 1 month of the year's budget, and they had to provide that to the king. And here are the names of the people. Ben Chur Behar Ephraim. Ben Chur is in charge of Ephraim. Ben Deker Bemakatzub Sha'alvim Bet Shamesh Ve'elon Bet Hanan. Ben Deker was in charge of the other areas of Makatz Sha'alvim Bet Shemesh Elon and Bet Hanan. Ben Chesed Barubot Lo Socho V'chol Eretz Chefer. Ben Chesed was in charge of Arubot and Socho and all of Eretz Chefer. Ben Avinadav Kol Nafat Dor Tafat Bat Shlomo Haytalo Le'isha. But Avinadav Ben Avinadav was in charge of Nafat Dor, and his wife was one of Shlomo's daughters, Tafat, and so therefore we might have some indication here of Shlomo's ideas of nepotism. It could also have been some type of an outgrowth of political unions, but we have people that Shlomo already has in his repertoire, whether it was Tzadok or Benayah ben Yehoyada, or people who are sons of Tzadok, people who were sons of Natan, and now we have his son-in-law taking post. Ba'ana ben Achilud Ta'anach u'Megiddo v'chol Bet She'an asher etzel sartana mitachat li'Yisrael mi'Bet She'an ad Aved Mecholah ad me'ever li'Yokme'am. Again, describing geographically the area of Ba'ana ben Achilud. He had Ta'anach in Megiddo, all of Bet She'an near Sartan, near by Emek Yisrael, Bet She'an until Bet Mecholah ad me'ever li'Yokme'am. These are all different areas that, if we map them out, I'll speak about that in a moment, what we'll find as a revelatory discovery. Pasuk Yud Gimel Ben Geber Beramot Gilad Lo Chavot Yair Ben Menashe Asher Bagilad Lo Chevel Argov Asher Babashan Shishim Arim Gedolot Choma Ubriach Nechoshet. Our regular description of the areas that were taken at the time of Moshe in the Eved HaYarden. Ben-Geber was in charge of Ramot Gilad, and that also includes the Chavot Ya'ir, the 60 cities that were the famous 60 cities of Choma Gvoha, Dlataim U'Briach, that are mentioned in the conquest in Chukat, and in the summary in Dvarim are repeated here. These are the same cities. Achinadav ben Ido Machanaima. Achinadav ben Ido is in charge of Machanaim. Some of these areas may have been subsumed within larger areas, and so therefore the suggestion is perhaps that if Ben-Geber was in charge of Ramot Gilad, maybe Achinadav ben Ido was really one of his sub-directors. The Pesukim don't indicate this idea of sub-directors, but rather an idea that each one had its independent area. Others suggest that perhaps people who have small areas that seem they're subsumed within larger ones are really because those small cities actually were very productive, and therefore they were able to provide tremendous amounts of capital and manpower to Shlomo, whereas other areas where people lived were more sparse, and therefore they needed to have a larger area in order to come up with the right type of amounts of money and manpower to provide the taxes they were responsible for. This type of a splitting of the kingdom into administrative sections altogether, as opposed to breaking it down by tribe, shows us again that we are in a new era. This is not the Shoftim, this is not the idea of Shevatim. Already now we're dealing with a nation, and Shlomo is not looking at anybody in terms of their tribal affiliation, but rather in regards to their production and ability to produce, and therefore he comes up with new territorial lines which are reflected in the taxation system. So this idea of nationhood is also a message that the Perek is teaching us, just by means of showing us the new boundary lines with all of these names of places that otherwise would seem to be insignificant. Pasuk Tetvav, Achimaz ben Naftali. Achimaz was in charge of what was the tribal section of Naftali. Gamhu lakach et basmat bat Shlomo leisha. And he too was a son-in-law of Shlomo. He married Basmat. And so therefore we have yet another type of appointment through nepotism. Ba'ana ben Hushai be'asher u'ba'alot. Ba'ana, the son of Hushai, was in charge of the area of Asher and Alot, and some people want to identify him as well as the son of Hushai, which means that he's also a political appointee, and that Shlomo had good feelings towards Hushai for his relationship with David, and therefore his son was someone who was going to be able to call in that protexia and take position in the government. Yehoshaphat ben Paruach b'Yisachar. Yehoshaphat ben Paruach was in charge of the area of Yisachar. Shevet ben Elah ben Yamin. Shevet ben Elah was in charge of the area of Shevet ben Yamin. Gever ben Uri be'eretz Gilad. Eretz Sichon melech Amori ve'og melech Bashan unziv echad asher ba'aretz. So Gever ben Uri was in charge of the Gilad, which is the areas that were taken by when we conquered Sichon and Og. Again, this is an example of where it might be that Ben-Gever maybe is connected to Gever Ben-Uri. So again, Psukim, Yud Gimel, and Yud Tet might be related, where it may even be his son, Ben-Gever, where he is in charge. Ben-Gever is in charge of the 60 cities, but the entire area is in charge of Gever Ben-Uri. And then the final words of that Pasuk, in Pasuk Yud Tet, Unziv Echad Asher Ba'aretz. And there's one Netziv in the land. So whether it refers to Geber ben Uri, which means that he is the one who was in charge of that entire area, because it was a large geographic area, or rather there was another Netziv that didn't have a name because he would rotate, or he would be replaced, or he would only be appointed if it was a leap year for a 13th, or whether there was somebody who was in charge of all of the Nitzavim, and that was the one that we mentioned before in Pasuk Hey, Azariyahu ben Natan, Ala Nitzavim, and therefore they didn't repeat his name, but they just wanted to round out the ideas of Nitzavim, and Nitzavim had to have the head Nitzav who was in charge of everybody, and therefore they just mentioned Nitzav Echad Asher Ba'aretz. Now if we, before we get to the last Pasuk, if we take a look at the geographical lines that are drawn by all of these different areas, one geographical area is glaringly omitted, and this is exactly perhaps one of the wonderful things of taking the list seriously and trying to get down all the different areas. Not all of them are easily identifiable in today's geography, but more or less the picture that comes to the fore is that the area of Shevet Yehuda, the tribe of Yehuda, where David heralded from and from which Shlomo is affiliated with, is not in any of the taxation zones, meaning that Yehuda became a tax-free living space. And this area, of course, is going to be the place where Beit HaMikdash is going to be, and it's going to be the central control tower for Shlomo's kingdom. Yerushalayim is the capital. It's going to be a lot of governmental spending going on in that city, and it's more or less where the majority of all of the power is going to be politically. It's also going to be a great place of economic growth. Most of the payments that are being made are being paid into Yehuda, being paid into Yerushalayim, and so it's some type of a international city, but really it's not international, rather intertribal, and therefore, being that we've broken down the tribal walls, this area, even though it's attributed to Yehuda, is really to be seen more as a geographical area. It's going to be seen as a safe haven for people working in the Mikdash and the people who are involved with the Malchut, and therefore they're going to have that tax-free exemption. Needless to say, throughout time when things are good and people are having an easy time making their tax payments, so then there's no problems. But so when things start to get rough, certainly we're going to find there's going to be a disruption and a revolt around the issue of taxation. And this might be one of the issues that are underlying it, even though it's not mentioned explicitly during the revolt. But we find that this type of idea is again the planting of seeds here in this perek about what might be the eventual downfall of the Malchut in the Prakim and the Sfarim to come. And that's maybe why the Navi made sure to put this list in here, even though originally it seems to have been a boring list. And again, David Nativ comes through to teach us that there is indeed what to be learned from this list. Now for the last pasuk, Yehuda v'Yisrael Rabbim, Kachol Asher Alayam Larov, Ochlim v'Shotim Usmechim. And Yehuda and Israel, and here now, maybe after this list, we can understand this type of separation, that Yehuda is separated out from Israel in regards to the Nitzavim. But everybody, there are plenty of people, they are like the sand on the at the beach. And if you recall, aside from the Jews, we had the enemies in the past that were described as Chol Asher Asfat Hayam and Shoftim Perek Zayin by the Midianim against Gideon. But now Am Yisrael is the powerful one. Am Yisrael has the many people. This is going to be repeated later in regards to Hiram's description. And we're going to know that Am Yisrael, while they have so many people, it's only a source of greater resources. And they are eating and drinking and happy. It's a picture-perfect kingdom. Shlomo's rise to the throne has been complete. And now we have Am Yisrael living the good life. And they're able to make their payments for taxes. Everybody is happy. There's no issues in regards to this disgruntled taxpayers. And even though we would understand, we would think that Yehuda's exemption would cause a lot of hatred, here we see that Am Yisrael is sitting and having a great time together, happy with the new administration administrative reasoning that Shlomo undertook, which is to be seen on somewhat of a national revolution.